jackpot for Denny Hamlin out in Vegas. The driver of the number 11 car doubled down for his 60th and most emotional win of his career. Now he has a 1-in-4 shot at a title. All that and more on this week's edition of Fast Talk.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the post-Vegas playoff edition of Fast Talk. I'm Alan Cavana, filling in for the awesome Doug Rice, who is, I think, getting rich out there in the table still. So I get to fill in. Love that. Maybe we'll hear from him later in the day. But until then, happy to be here, joined by the esteemed panel, as always, from PRN, Alexis Erickson, and joining us from Las Vegas itself, early up in the morning, Lee. Thank you so much, Lee Spencer, writer extraordinaire. How you doing, Lee?
I'm great. What a day at Las Vegas Motor Speedway yesterday, and what emotion out of Denny Hamlin to get his 60th, 10th on the all-time list, and just having that shot at a championship once again. It was just phenomenal all the way around.
Alexis, I know he started on the pole, but there was a lot of that race we did not think Denny Hamlin would be the winner.
That's very true. I mean, it seemed like for much of that race, it was going to be a Hendrick Motorsport show. And there were some crazy things that we'll talk about later that kind of derailed that for them. But yeah, when you think about Denny Hamlin and you think about a 6-win season, you think about getting to 60, having another shot at a championship, and you think about him being 44 years old, he's such an anomaly, you know, when you think about that, because so many drivers, when they get to that age, yeah, they win here or there. They could be somewhat competitive. But to be really kind of at the top of his game right now at his age, it's phenomenal to watch.
And not just the top of his game. I mean, what he did and how he did it. I mean, this is why we watch sports, right? I mean, this is why we watch racing and love it, just to see the difference a driver can make. As we were saying, he didn't lead a bunch of the race, but when it counted, it seemed like he shifted into a literal another gear, Lee, in terms of what he was able to do with a race car that maybe wasn't the fastest. All of a sudden, he's on the outside of Kyle Larson. Who races Kyle on the outside and gets even closer to the wall than Kyle Larson and pulls off a win that we didn't see coming? Lee, it was almost like the opposite of the Kansas race, where Toyota dominated and Chevy ends up getting the win on... Yesterday in Las Vegas, Chevy dominates, and it's Toyota in victory lane.
I said the exact same thing to my husband, Reed, on the way home. I said, at Kansas, Toyota gave one away to Hendrick. At Las Vegas, Hendrick gave one away to Joe Gibbs Racing. It was, you know, a complete opposite deal. Maybe not as dramatic at the end of Kansas, but Denny Hamlin, when you were talking to him in victory lane, he felt almost like he was having an out-of-body experience. He didn't even remember those final six laps. It's like something took him over. Something possessed the 11 car. And he said, I had more grip than I had all day. And it just took off. And I asked him, was it the tires? Was it the sun setting? I'm like, what all came into play? And he goes, you know, he was just dumbfounded. And the crew, when I talked to the crew afterwards, they were like, they thought they were witnessing greatness. A lot of these kids have played in the NFL, the guys that go over the wall, you know, they've played at the highest level at whatever sport they're at. And now they're in NASCAR, and they were just watching with awe as Denny Hamlin captured his 60th win at 44 years old. Denny's going to be 45 next month. And, you know, it's like he, like Alexis said, he is truly reaching his prime right now.
Unbelievable. And to call it, you know, the greatest that he's been performing maybe in his career, he called Sunday's win the greatest of his career. Here's what he said after the race.
I just can't imagine there's a win bigger for me than this one. Just with all, you know, with the family, with the significance of it, you know, now being back on top for most wins in the season, punching the ticket to the four, it's just all of it. All, you know, the fashion in which the last 10 laps played out, all the above is why I think this means the most.
And Alexis, that's coming after three Daytona 500s.
I know.
But you heard him mention the family, and we saw it on the broadcast in terms of he's hinted at it a little bit, but clearly, you know, some health issues with his father, kept mentioning wanting to get to 60 as soon as possible. Who wouldn't? But all of that came together, and we saw it right away in that in-car camera shot, on the audio and the radio, tears. It all contributed to why this is the biggest win of his career, per Denny.
You know, as I was watching after the race, and I watched the television interview, and then I heard the interview that Wendy Venturini did on our broadcast on the Performance Racing Network, that's a Denny that I don't think I've ever seen before, to be completely honest with you, because typically we see Denny, you know, and he's very kind of brash and, hey, I beat your favorite driver kind of thing. And this time he just seemed more grounded, very, very emotional. He was obviously in tears on the cool down lap, as we all saw on the television broadcast. And then when our Wendy Venturini did the post-race interview with him in Victory Lane, she asked him why he was so emotional. And he basically said, because my dad's not doing well. We don't really know the full extent of it, but I'm so glad he got to see this. And I think for the first time, we're really seeing what one of the big drivers is behind why he is so was so insistent on getting to 60 and reaching these milestones, you know, it kind of in a hurry so that he could make sure that his family, you know, was around to see it. And you could tell almost like a weight was lifted off of his chest yesterday that he was able to get that done.
Lee, there was the emotional family side, but let's look at the competition side. We're looking at a driver who wanted win number 60, but now also has a 1-in-4 shot at the title he's never earned. He's done it with this crew chief that just a few months back, we were all wondering, how is this going to work out? Is this going to work out? A legendary driver in the end of his career suddenly gets a new crew chief. How is this going to work? Lee, it's all coming together at the right time for one of the best drivers to ever do it. What a story.
Alan, that was my question to Denny in the post-race. Once he got into the media center, I said, take me through the Chris Gayle deal, because when that happened, he was not happy about it. Joe Gibbs gave him 24 hours to decide, you know, is this the guy for him? Chris Gayle had another offer. I mean, all of this is just starting to come out, how interesting it was, the machinations behind the scenes at JGR that led to Chris Gayle becoming his crew chief. You know, just another little nugget. I mean, there are so many layers to this win, as you said, but Chris Gayle, when I interviewed him, he looks up and he sees a banner hanging in the neon garage that says 11 against the world. And he says that, and he just kind of chuckles to himself because he remembers what it was like to be with Denny during their tenure. And it's just between, you know, the Chris's taking over, Chris Lambert is the spotter. I mean, there's a little confusion there at times, Chris, but, you know, Chris Gayle has just really owned that role. And it's really tough shoes to fill with Chris Gayle, because I know you all have interviewed him. He's one of the most brilliant minds in the garage. And Chris Gayle has just eased into the role of the 11 crew chief and made it his own. And to be in the position that they are now, to be the first ones locked in, this is just going to keep building between now and Phoenix. And I say that because you have two really feel-good stories there with Eric Almirola winning and being the first one to advance on Saturday in the Xfinity Series. For Denny to be the first one to advance out of the Cup Series, these guys grew up dirt poor. You know, Eric Almirola said on Saturday, if things didn't work out, he was going to go back and bag groceries at his local Publix. Denny would have probably been working for his dad at their small engine shop in Chesterfield, Virginia. So when you think about how far those two drivers have come, and at the end of the day, we have to kind of look at J.D. Gibbs as the mastermind behind recruiting them and turning Joe Gibbs Racing into what it is today.
You know, listening to you, Lee, talk about the change from Gabe Hart to Gale and how that was a little bit of a hurdle for them to overcome and to get this success. I started thinking about some other hurdles that Denny Hamlin has had this year. You know, he lost a major partner. He came into this season with not a full season sponsored. You know, he talked about yesterday about how his new partner AMPM was like the second race that they had had, and he went and got them in victory lane. But he had, you know, all the talk about, you know, his major partner leaving and them having races open, and all that was a hurdle. Then you have the hurdle of everything that's happening between him and NASCAR and 2311 and the lawsuit and all these. There's all these things that should be distracting Denny, that should be making him, you know, not as good as he has been. And he's been able to kind of like push all that aside and still perform. And to me, I think that makes what we're seeing even more magical.
And don't forget, he had a baby this year.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yep, I mean, baby on top watch. Of everything else, he finally got the son that he wanted.
Exactly.
And I can't imagine juggling all those emotions, juggling just all those life-changing events, and still being at the top of the sport right now.
Unbelievable. He says he thrives in chaos, and he is showing. Denny Hamlin now with a 1-in-4 shot at that elusive title. And would you believe he tops our Toyota Performance Report, because he started the race at first and he won. We'll go over some of the other big Toyota finishers. Pretty good day. Christopher Bell finished third. Chase Briscoe fourth. Tyler Reddick fifth. Eric Jones coming in 15th. Riley Herbst, good day, finishing 17th. Bubba Wallace, 22nd. John Hunter Nemechek, 29th. Ty Gibbs, that late wreck made him finish 34th after what was a decent day. But that was the Toyota Performance Report presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. Stay back. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Fast Talk.
So you're a Toyota Cup driver and you just made it to the playoffs. Now all you have to do is win. Easy. Just turn left, right? That and start strong, take off, reach 200 miles per hour, maintain a good position, no big deal, lap again, time your pit stops, steer clear of accidents, talk to your crew chief like your best friend, and most importantly, turn left. Easy, right? You in? Get up to speed at TGRNA.com. Toyota, let's go places. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
I'm Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, it's Charlie and Debbie, along with NASCAR legend Kyle Petty, inviting you to join us for Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown.
Each week, we'll put it in reverse and take a trip down memory lane, looking back at that week's top 20 country songs from years past.
We'll dive into what made those songs and artists move the needle, what pop culture trends made those years unique.
And you'll get to hear me tell stories only I can tell.
So don't miss Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown right here each week.
Welcome to PRN's At the Track. I'm Lenny Baticki. We are PRN's half-hour weekly show dedicated to the short track, dirt track, legends, and kart racing across the Southeast. We provide our audience with the news and insightful conversations with the newsmakers from grassroots racing.
How did that help you this time to take this victory from a grassroots perspective?
I definitely felt like Martinsville was a lot harder than the other one.
That's PRN's At the Track.
Time to win again here at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. He'll take the checkered flag. He's won the fight. He's won the right to go after the championship in Phoenix. Denny Hamlin takes down the win in the South Point 400. Kyle Larson, the runner-up, 1.5 seconds back.
What a call from Performance Racing Network's Mark Garrow. His final call after a legendary four-decade-plus career. What a race to go out on, Alexis. You got, we've all had the benefit of working with him, but you've had long time benefit of working with him. The last few weeks, he's getting his much deserved flowers, and it's been so nice for him to go out on a race like that. What a great story.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously, we talk about the emotions that Denny Hamlin had in the car. There were some emotions in the PRN booth yesterday as Mark called his final race for the network. You know, he has been just a blessing for us over the years. He's done so much. He's worked so hard for us, not only in the booth as co-anchor to Doug Rice for decades, but also doing our daily show Garage Pass for years and years. And we are just so happy for him and his next chapter. And what a call. What a call there.
And Lee, I know you were in victory lane. Looked like Mark Garrow got to go there and just go out with a fun picture, a nice conversation with Denny Hamlin. You know Mark as well. What a career.
It's really been fun to work with Mark over the years, and he is meticulous. I think that that's what makes him so good. Alexis talked about how hard he works. The effort that he puts into his show every day is just really amazing. And as he said, when he was honored at Charlotte Motor Speedway, he's never, you know, used the same show or the same material twice. It's always fresh, it's always brand new, and it's going to be fun to see him, you know, how he goes out over the next couple of weeks with the Daily Show.
And part of that call, as we heard, was him calling Denny Hamlin to the win over Kyle Larson.
What an amazing thing to say, too, that you got to call Denny Hamlin's 60th win
your
final
Absolutely.
Call. I mean, that's just kind of perfect, you know?
Oh, yeah. And for him to beat Kyle Larson like he did, that we didn't really see coming. Again, Kyle Larson dominated this race. Let's talk about the Hendrick cars, because, as we said earlier, it feels like the opposite of Kansas, where, you know, the Toyota stole one from the Chevys out in Las Vegas, just the opposite of what happened in Kansas, because Kyle Larson Lee led the most laps. William Byron was also in position to win this race, ends up crash in just a crazy incident. Chase Elliott had some speed and had pit road issues that ultimately cost him. And Alex Bowman showed up in a bright green car and was there right at the middle of the end. But none of those cars got the victory, handed it to Toyota. What do you make of Team Hendricks Daily?
The script definitely flipped on Sunday, and Kyle Larson led over 1,000 laps for the season with the laps that he led at Las Vegas. But the only person who could keep up with him all day was William Byron. But the violence of that crash in turn four was just, he never saw it coming. You know, it's probably better that he didn't, because his body wasn't tense, right? They say that about car wrecks. But he was just kind of blown away. And Ty Dillon was like, you know, there was a debate whether he should have raised his hand or what have you. But I don't even think that would have mattered, because everything just transpired so quick. But William Byron, who I'm sure a lot of people have in their championship four, probably picked him at the beginning of the season because he started out so strong. He has a lot of work to do between now and Phoenix. That being said, William Byron has 5 consecutive finishes of 7th or better at Talladega. Whoa. So he's extremely consistent there. He finished 3rd in the spring. Larson was 2nd. Cindric won the race. So he knows how to keep his nose clean. And as we've seen, Larson has kind of begun to figure out the drafting tracks as well. So I wouldn't count him out yet. Chase Elliott, despite the fact that they had a penalty, he recovered from that. Not great, but he's not completely out of it. So I do think Hendrick, for the most part, was the class of the field, but wrong place, wrong time for Byron, and critical error on the number 9 team.
Yeah, that's what the crazy part was for William Byron, Alexis, in terms of, you know, we'll talk about Blaney later, but he had a mechanical issue. Those happen in racing. What happened to William Byron, just nuts. Nutso. To end your race like that when you were going so fast in a playoff race in the worst possible circumstance.
It felt like such a freak thing
to
happen.
Unreal.
You know, like and I don't know exactly, and even pundits that I've heard talking about this, journalists, you know, people in the industry talking about this incident, they're still not exactly sure why this happened, where the communication breakdown was. Was it with the spotter? Was it with Ty Dillon not waving his hand, you know, feverishly enough? Like, what caused this to happen is still kind of a bit of a mystery. However, the outcome is the outcome. And somebody who has been the most consistent all season long, he won the regular season championship, he's been the points leader for, you know, so many weeks, is now in a, you know, potential to not even make the final four. So huge consequences come out of this very freak thing to happen. You know, we do know that he does well at Talladega. There's possibility for him. You know, I don't know if the fall race at Martinsville has really been his strong suit. He has done pretty well in the spring race there. There are opportunities for him to still make his way into the final four, but it's going to be a lot harder now than it was before that incident.
We'll do a full points rundown coming up here soon. But yeah, William Byron minus 15. It just shows you how importantly winning that first race is. We got the points up there now in terms of Denny Hamlin getting his win. Kyle Larson finishing second, plus 35. But Lee, William Byron, regular season point champion, pretty well with all his stage points. All of a sudden, one race, he's now minus 15. His teammate, Chase Elliott, who fell all the way to 18th yesterday, minus 23. That's 200 cars with two races to go, well below the cut line. Not where you expected the Hendrick cars to be, just given the speed they had on Sunday.
Well, Chase Briscoe showed yesterday how quickly you can come from below to above. Mm-hmm. He had a great day with the stages. He had a great finish, or I should say a solid finish, top four, you know, fourth place. But I think Byron can kind of go to Talladega, have a strong day, be right back in the mix. And if he has a good Martinsville, then we might be talking about him. But when you guys talk about all the chaos that was Kansas, I mean, certainly we're expecting that this next weekend at Talladega. But Denny said the way that he had to work for this win, the way that he did win, he was so glad the win came here at Las Vegas rather than at Talladega, because Talladega is kind of one of those, you know, right place, right time kind of deals. Denny drove his butt off for this victory, and I think that's what made it so much more special for him.
It's always a selfish sport, Alexis, but the further back you get in points, the more selfish these teammates, I feel like, are going to get, because all of a sudden you're not in a good position. And William Byron, Chase Elliott, they can't worry about each other anymore when they're that far below.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a dog-eat-dog world. You know what I mean? When it comes to these playoffs. And you think about even Kyle Larson at plus 35 going to Talladega, I wouldn't even necessarily feel comfortable with that. Like, in my opinion, the only person that can go to Talladega and be comfortable in their position in the playoffs is clearly Denny Hamlin, because he goes right on to Phoenix, regardless of what happens the next 2 weeks. But one crazy thing, I mean, I think we saw last fall, like, because Talladega was in a different position, you know, in the playoffs last year, we saw a slew of drivers get taken out in a big wreck, playoff drivers. Not as many playoff drivers now, but still anything can happen. I mean, Talladega has got to be high on the anxiety meter for a lot of these guys.
Rough days for Chase Elliott, William Byron, some of Team Hendrick, somehow Team Penske faring even worse when you look at the standings. We'll break down their day and their points position when we come back on Fast Talk.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars, and I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV. Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, every car that Echo Park Automotive sells goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
I'm Kyle Busch, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
No one's paying me to say this, but you've been our lifeline. We have no internet. We have no TV. We barely have cell service. I don't know how I'm able to get to you. My Wi-Fi is not working. And I have a radio, and I finally got power on, and I have it plugged in, and I could hear you. You're the only station I can get in.
Wow. Well, that's I'm glad we're here. So. Wow.
The report that we got was that a severe tornado was heading right toward us. And I just want to commend you gentlemen for the job that you're doing, for keeping us informed.
I just wanted to say thank you for being on the radio and guiding us to, you know, where we can get help.
I just want to tell you, the first thing I heard was your voices the next morning. Oh, shoot. And it made me cry. The comfort of hearing your voices.
My respiration, perspiration, and aggravation are sky high, but you guys have been the guiding light.
Your local AM station makes a difference.
Back, the post-Vegas playoff edition of Fast Talk. Alan Cavana here, in for Doug Rice, who's hitting it big out there on the tables. Can't wait to have him back next week. But we are breaking down everything that happened out in Sin City. Denny Hamlin with the big win. Team Hendrick, take it or leave it. Kyle Larson, good. William Byron, not so good. But then below that, guys, the Penske cars. Yes, Joey Logano. Well, let's look at the points. Great to bring that up, because on the bottom of the final standings right now, of these final eight, Joey Logano minus 24, Ryan Blaney minus 31 to the cut line. Ryan Blaney, mechanical issue at a track. Look, he's been consistent. We had expected at least top 10, maybe top 5 speed out of Ryan Blaney. That would not have surprised any of us on Sunday, but a mechanical issue takes him out. Joey Logano actually ended up having a good day in sixth and still that far below the cut line. Lee Spencer still out there in Vegas. Did you hear just the breath go out of Team Penske when the checkered flag fell? I mean, what's your takeaway from where they leave Vegas?
I think Joey Logano is still fired up despite his finish. I just never felt like the Team Penske Fords brought the speed to Las Vegas that they needed. Blaney qualified, 14th. He was at the bottom of the barrel of the playoff drivers in qualifying. Joey Logano wasn't far above him. You had all eight drivers in the top seven rows, but Blaney was, you know, coming from behind to start, and that's a really precarious spot to be in. Joey Logano, you know, had a decent finish of six with a two-tire call by Paul Wolf there at the last pit stop, but you know, it was kind of a smoke and mirrors top 10, right? Before we, you know, completely get off the topic, I want to go back to Hendrick, because something you said really rang true, Alan, about the drivers really being selfish over these last three races. And after the uncontrolled tire for the 9 team, Chase came over the radio and he said, "I'm going to get really selfish on this restart. You better warn the other spotters." Mm. And Alan, you know, came over the radio and he said, "It's all about us. Do what you got to do." So I think there's going to be a lot of that sentiment now going over the next two races.
It has to be.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it has to be. You do, you know, you do work within an organization. In Hendrick's case, that has four drivers, and Penske's case, that has three. Joe Gibbs has four. That you know, you want to do things that are good for the overall organization. But when you get down to this part of the season, it has to be about your team. It has to be about you and your guys and what you can get done. And yes, you don't ever want to put a teammate in a bad position. But when it comes to racing them hard or not racing them hard, you better believe they're going to race them hard.
And that's what we saw with Denny.
And that's what they should do. That's what we want them to do.
We saw that with Denny in Kansas, and he was unapologetic about it. Look, at the beginning of the playoffs, I pick, you know, everyone fills out their brackets. Everyone's having fun. I thought it was Blaney's to lose. But now because of this one race, Alexis, I mean, he is in a position where it does seem like must win. I know you can kind of chip away at things, but that's what, love it or hate it, that's what makes this playoff format fun, because Ryan Blaney can go out and win Talladega. He absolutely can win Martinsville, and that just give us, the storytellers, the fans, a ton to think about, drama to potentially lay itself out there. I mean, if there's anybody on the bottom who could ever leapfrog all the way from the bottom to the top with a win, it is Ryan Blaney over these next two races.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. The thing that I think is interesting, though, is like when these playoffs started out, I think we were all kind of pointing to Team Penske, and specifically the 12 and the 22, like, hey, these guys are going to make a run for it. These playoffs work out really well for them. The tracks look really good for them. And now we get to a situation where there might only be one Penske car in the Final Four. There might be none, you know? And how does that change the outlook of the other drivers? Because I think a lot of people think, okay, well, if Ryan Blaney or Joey Logano gets to Phoenix, then it's a foregone conclusion. You know, Penske has been lights out in, you know, the final race for the last 3 years. So, you know, maybe we don't have something for them. But if they don't even get in the Final Four, that just opens the playing field for everybody else. So, yeah, I don't know. I look at the next 2 weeks as being obviously extremely important for Penske. But I also don't think that it's too far out of the realm of possibility that they can do it, because you're right. I mean, the Penske cars, the Fords, are so strong on the super speedways. And Ryan Blaney has shown us what he can do at the Fall Martinsville race. I think it's going to be very difficult to get both of the Penske drivers in the Final Four, but it's not, you know, certainly undoable. So we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll
but see. Think about that, Lee. Everybody wants, the competition at least, wants the Penske cars out of Phoenix. One of the four spots already taken, and the two Penske cars are on the bottom of the standings. For all those haters out there that are looking at the competition and saying, you know, like, you know, let's put our foot on their necks for down at Team Penske, this is the situation the competition wants.
Well, the big talk this weekend in all the scrums and with the drivers was team manipulation, right? And you can choose your dancing partner at Talladega. And if given a choice, you know, the drivers really have to think big picture. And William Byron says he looks at all the data before he goes into the race, so he doesn't have to have the team tell him, you know, Joe Blow's in this point position, you know, Bubba's in that position, whoever, right? And so he knows where he needs to go, who he needs to go with. But if it comes down to, do you want the two Penske drivers at Phoenix? Hell no, right? But I think that they're an advantage going into Talladega because they approach that race realistically. They approach that race confidently. They each have three wins. Before Brad Keselowski left, he had five of his six wins had come in a Penske car. So the Fords really understand the team concept. And even Chase Briscoe brought that up. Something he learned about being at the Ford camp for the beginning of his career was just being around guys that knew how to draft and knew how to be good teammates to each other. So ultimately, you know, it's every man but itself. But, you know, at the end of the day, they wanted a blue oval in victory lane.
A lot of work to do for the Penske cars. Only two more races to do it before the championship four. When we come back, a closer look at the playoff standings. This is Fast Talk.
Let's talk about your health insurance. There are a lot of reasons why people need affordable health insurance. But here's the bottom line. You know you need affordable health insurance. For you, a spouse, a family member, whatever. I'm going to give you a free hotline to call to find affordable health insurance that can cover all your health insurance needs in case you get sick or have an emergency. Plus, cover vision, dental, and more. And there are no long-term commitments. You can keep your plan as long as it's affordable. And for the price of a cup of coffee. We're not talking about one of those fancy coffees. For the price of a regular cup of coffee a day, you can have quality, affordable health insurance. Call the health insurance hotline for a free quote.
800-275-7851. 800-275-7851. 800-275-7851. That's 800-275-7851.
I'm Joey Logano, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
These cars are about to fire it off in anger.
Logano back across the stripe. Now Zane Smith putting on some pressure.
Side by side, Austin Cindric has him at the line, and he will take the lead into one.
Boy, what a save. We got cars sideways. It's Christopher Bell. He spins and collects a couple cars. Here comes Shane Van Gisbergen on the bottom. He's looking for second.
Now Chris Buescher fired out of a cannon at turn two. He's right into the rear bumper of Ty Gibbs. Which way is it going to go?
Oh, it's a multi-car accident. I want to say 15, 20 cars. Looks like Austin Cindric is involved. Denny Hamlin. Guys, that took out about two-thirds of the field.
We have a fight on pit road between two crew guys. One of them is with Ty Gibbs. One is with Brad Keselowski.
Brad Keselowski will see the white flag as he drives under the start-finish line.
Chase Elliott has battled at the front all night long. He's won the war. Chase Elliott has just punched his ticket to the playoff.
Awesome job, man. Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
This is PRN.
Welcome back to Fast Talk, breaking everything down from the playoff race out in Las Vegas. Denny Hamlin, the winner, maybe the loser on the day, Ryan Blaney. Not a great day out in Vegas. And because of that, we'll take a closer look at the playoff standings. Denny Hamlin has advanced a 1-4 shot at the title now that he's locked into Phoenix. Behind him, plus 35 to the cut line. This is important. Kyle Larson, plus 20 for Christopher Bell, plus 15 for Chase Briscoe. Great day for him out in Vegas. Below the cut line, William Byron, minus 15, Chase Elliott, minus 23, Joey Logano, minus 24, and Ryan Blaney's bad day translates into him being minus 31 to the bubble cut line. Alexis Erickson from PRN, Lee Spencer, writer extraordinaire, joining us today. Let's start at the top, because Kyle Larson, plus 35, Lee. Yeah, that sounds great, but you know at least one person, one driver makes it in on points. So if Kyle Larson doesn't win the next 2 weeks, he's got to have the most points to keep going. Plus 35 sounds good, unless one of those Fords wins one of the next two races or both of those next two races, then plus 35 doesn't seem the same anymore. What do you make of a plus 35 Kyle Larson?
I think a plus 35 Kyle Larson needs to pad his points with stage wins, which he's been, you know, spectacular at all season, and it's kind of what's kept him up there. He hasn't won since Kansas. We keep waiting for him to win. He inches closer and closer to that victory at Talladega. Could Sunday be the day where he finally gets that first drafting track win of his career? Possibly. But that's, you know, in that position, that is exactly what I would do, is just keep padding the points. If you don't feel good about Talladega, keep yourself in the mix. You certainly don't want to end up on the hook.
Even at plus 35, though, Alexis, you still need points. And sometimes, you know, they try to find safety at Talladega, right? Ride in the back. When you need points, you can't be operating on the safety measures. You have to get stage points. What an intriguing possibility we have for Sunday. When you need points, you also need safety. How do you balance it all, even at plus 35?
And we've seen, you know, in the past, in the recent past, that sometimes a lot of those crazy incidences at Talladega and Daytona and Atlanta now happen at the front of the field.
Second place.
Happen with the leaders. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that puts everybody in kind of a precarious position for sure this weekend heading into Talladega. I think the one thing that we can take away from all this, again, is like the bottom line is nobody is safe. You want, just like Lee said, you want to go out, you want to get as many stage points as you can get, because that is certainly going to help you in the long run. But you got to win. If you win, then you know you're safe, just like Denny Hamlin. So in my mind, it's not a play it safe kind of deal. You know what I mean? It's not a play it safe. It's a let's go out and win the race and put ourselves in position to not maybe have to worry about it at Martinsville kind of thing.
And look, super speedway racing lately, Lee, it hasn't really benefited those that hang out in the back, only because track position seems to matter. We know the whole fuel deal. But I wonder about the Denny Hamlin factor. One of the best to do this. Hasn't been great in the next gen car, but he can be a heck of a friend and teammate now that he has absolutely nothing to lose. And every benefit for him would be getting another Toyota or non-Penske car to win Talladega. What do you think of Denny Hamlin and his abilities to be a good friend on Sunday?
I think he is so good at this style of racing. You don't win as many Harley J. Earl trophies as he has by not really perfecting your craft. You know, he could help a Bell. He could help Briscoe. Certainly, I think you used the word earlier, selfish. And I think they're all selfish. He got 60. He wants 61. He said he wanted 61 at Phoenix. He would definitely take it at Talladega. It'll be really interesting to listen to the radios over the course of this week. The teams will get a lot more creative with what their directives will be on Sunday. Because you're the ultimate teammate if you get somebody in, but you know how selfish these guys are in the closing of laps and all they can see is a checkered flag. That's where Ford has kind of prevailed, except for that last lap, man. Everything just seems to fall apart. Probably the best lap in racing.
The more I think about it, Alexis, in terms of the point situation, one driver gets in on points. Those two Hendrick cars below the line, if they're chasing their other teammate, Kyle Larson, the teammate aspect, the selfish aspect, because now the one car they're chasing for that points position, if you're not going to win, you got to get on points. The one car they're chasing is now Kyle Larson, their other teammate. I mean, it's just all the scenarios are crazy.
Certainly. I mean, you have, when you look at, you know, where the points are now, you have, Christopher Bell and Chase Briscoe who aren't locked in, who could potentially see themselves battling each other. You have three Hendrick cars and Kyle Larson, William Byron, Chase Elliott, who could see themselves jockeying for position and doing whatever they need to do to be selfish and get themselves in and potentially maybe, not get their teammates in. And then you have two teammates in Joey Logano and Ryan Blaney who are going to be doing the same thing. So I think that's what makes this so intriguing, is that you have all this different dynamics of what do you want to do? You know, how do you want to proceed to get, not only be selfish and get yourself in, but do you want to help get your teammates in? Do you want to make sure that you do whatever you can to get Joey Logano and Ryan Blaney out? Like, there's so many layers to all this, you know, this onion that we're peeling that it makes it very dramatic.
And let's face it, it's Talladega. Plenty of other drivers could also find themselves in the mix on Sunday. We'll address that when we come back with Green Flag, Black Flag. Stay with us.
In addition to traditional summer camp, Victory Junction also hosts family weekends, partner programs, and day camps. And the Victory Junction Outreach Program takes camp fun beyond our gates to children at hospitals and partner sites throughout North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Victory Junction makes the impossible accessible.
This is a place that needs to be here 50 years from now, 100 years from now. We are never going to run out of kids that can benefit from Victory Junction.
Discover how you can get involved at victoryjunction.org.
Hi, it's PRN's Brad Gilley. Did you know you could take PRN with you anywhere? That's right. By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to our live race broadcast from anywhere. Make sure you don't miss a second of the action from the track. Download today for station listings and on-demand access to your favorite studio shows like Fast Talk, The Pit Reporters, or Garage Pass. Get all the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app. Download today, available in the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
This is Christopher Bell, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
It's hard to believe in this day and age in the United States of America that children are hungry.
Our time on this planet is short. We have to give back to those in need.
Every child has a chance, no matter what obstacles they may encounter.
Never have we been taxed more as a society to help kids the way we are right now.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission is simple.
Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
I'm PRN's Doug Turnbull, co-host of the 5 to Go podcast, a weekly deep dive into five motorsports issues. Devin Kupka gives the Gen Z view.
One thing that I've never seen before, when the cars got four wide, everybody stood up cheering.
And championship-winning mechanic Dan Elliott leans on his decades in the garage and promoting.
Unless everybody is aware of the rules, then no, it's not fair for everyone.
Listen to the 5 to Go podcast on GoPRN.com and subscribe on Apple and Spotify.
Welcome back to Fast Talk. I'm Alan Cavana in for Doug Rice. He's out there winning in Vegas. His Atlanta Falcons play my Buffalo Bills tonight, so I hope that's the only winning he gets to do today. But safe trip back home, Doug. Happy to be here. Rolling along on this episode, Alexis Erickson and Lee Spencer, who's still out in Vegas. Maybe she could place a few bets before she leaves. But we're going to play our game now. Green flag, black flag.
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
All right, let's do this thing called Green Flag, Black Flag. What I do is I read some carefully prepared statements crafted by overpaid writers. And our panel
no
will...
No such thing.
Our panel will mull them over. If they agree, it gets a green flag. David Styles plays that. If they disagree, a black flag. If they are all in union and harmony. That's what we hear right there. Here we go. Let's start with Lee. There will be no Penske teams in the championship four at Phoenix. No championship. Ooh. No Penske teams.
I see black flag. I still hold out hope for Ryan Blaney.
Ah. How about it, Alan?
Same. Black flag. Ryan Blaney's too good at Talladega and Martinsville, and Joey Logano always has some magic in there. Until he's done, he's not done.
All right, Alexis, we have agreement.
Yeah, give us a wow, because I'm going to go black flag too. And I do think that it's probably going to be split. I do not think we're going to see both Penske cars in the final four, but I agree with Lee. I think if it's going to be one or the other, it's going to be Blaney, and he's going to do it by winning Martinsville.
All right.
Again.
Alan, this one's yours first. A non-playoff driver will win Talladega.
Green flag. I think there's a lot of options. And if we're talking ones not in the final eight, certainly some great options. The Bubbas of the world, Tyler Reddick's of the world. But even beyond that, we saw Ricky Stenhouse Jr. do it. We've seen other drivers win. Green flag.
All right. How about it, Alexis?
I'm going black flag. Look, I know we have seen it happen in the past. But I just feel like this is going to be the cream rising to the top kind of situation that we see this coming weekend at Talladega. And we will see, potentially somebody else win their way in, or Denny Hamlin making it two people coming in on points because he gets his second win.
What about it, Lee?
I have to say green flag because I think in... Alan mentioned the 2311 cars. Reddick was so disappointed that he wasn't more in the mix on Sunday because he had a really fast car. He still wants that first win of the season. I can see Bubba and Tyler Reddick just going, back and forth and thwarting the playoff drivers on Sunday.
All right. Alexis, you get this one first here. Chase Elliott will not be a factor in the championship hunt for the rest of the season. Will not.
Ooh, I'm going to say black flag on that. I think, obviously, they unfortunately kind of shot themselves in the foot this past weekend at Las Vegas. But, they are showing some more speed. I think they can be fast at Talladega. So I think he will be in the picture. I don't have him as winning the championship, but I think he will be in the picture.
All right, Lee.
Sorry, I'm confused. I'm flagged now. Yeah.
Like the question again?
Fine.
Okay. Chase Elliott will not be a factor.
Black flag on that. He's the only Hendrick driver with two wins at that track, and I think he brings the confidence. And it's also like Martin Truex Jr. back in the days where he had 24 home tracks. This one's pretty close to Dawsonville. So, I think that the... his fans will be out in force at Talladega, and I think that that'll help, you know, roll him along.
You can almost hear the siren from there, you know?
Okay. And how about it, Alan?
Black flag. I think, look, Hendrick won the Daytona 500. They're fast there. Chase Elliott won Atlanta. We know he's good at these drafting tracks. Absolutely be a factor. Probably has to win. Probably has to win Talladega, but I think he's a factor in the championship. Absolutely.
Hey, that's a wow.
That's a wow, yeah. Get a wow out of that. All agreement. This is a very agreeable panel here. All right, we got one more. It has nothing to do with NASCAR at all. Bonus.
Lee,
you're first. Monday the 13th should be a lot unluckier than Friday the 13th. Of course, I'm saying this to a person that's getting ready to fly home.
Monday the 13th.
This is Monday the 13th when we're taping, and it should be, you would think it would be a lot unluckier than Friday the 13th.
Only if you're Ryan Blaney. And William Byron, for that matter.
Yeah. 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 How about it, Alan?
Yeah, I'll go green flag. I mean, because who wants unluck on a Friday? And we all want to be happy on a Friday. And everyone's, you know, down a little bit on a Monday. So
Monday.
We might as well just put it all at the beginning of the
week. Why not? Alexis?
It's garbage night at my house, too.
Look, besides, it's been night. Look, besides, you know, getting to come in and spend an hour with all of you lovely people, I'm kind of like Garfield in that I don't really love Mondays.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to go green flag on that one. Yeah.
You would think. All right. Alan, back to you, sir.
All right. Fun game. Sounds like we are all winners on this edition of Green Flag, Black Flag on Fast Talk. When we come back, we'll try to forecast Talladega. Impossible? Absolutely not. Stay with us.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market. Performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at zmax.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
This is Kyle Larson, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, this is Brett McMillan. Join me each week for the True Reporters Roundtable, known as the Pit Reporters.
This is not what we're used to and accustomed to seeing. That, I think, with a backdrop, is why a lot of fans are a bit sour on Denny.
He still wants to play that role that now Denny has taken on, but him and the A car haven't had the same success. You can't be the villain, and it doesn't really work as well if you're not winning. And Denny Hamlin is doing just that.
Check us out each week on the Performance Racing Network.
Did you know that 9 out of 10 Americans are sick of the divisions in our country? But there's one small step we can take to remember that we're still connected. All over America, strangers with different political views are coming together to talk about their lives, not politics, and discovering they actually have a lot in common. Because even if we don't see eye to eye, we can still talk heart to heart. So let's talk for a change. Learn more at takeonesmallstep.org.
Welcome back. Fast Talk, post-Las Vegas edition. We've broken it all down. The win by Denny Hamlin, the tough day for some of Team Hendrick and Team Penske. Now let's look ahead to the next race in the round 8, Talladega. Super Speedway racing has got its own mind of its own, if you will, with just the fuel strategy, the reliance on track position. Lee Spencer, we have seen Team Penske get ultra aggressive in terms of fuel strategy. maybe short fueling. We've heard of short pitting. Short fueling and hoping for some, just rolling the dice and hoping for some cautions at the end, because short fueling will get you out in front of the pack where you really want to be. We have two desperate Team Penske cars that really need a victory. What are you expecting at Talladega?
The thing is before Legacy Motorsports, I think that the Chevrolets and the Fords had an advantage. Toyota just didn't have the dancing partners in the past. And as long as Ford keeps that commitment to doing what they do at the drafting tracks, I don't think there's a manufacturer that does it better. That being said, you all mentioned earlier, the Chevrolets have been stout there with Chase Elliott winning it at Atlanta, William Byron winning the Daytona 500. They've showed solid performances throughout the season. So, man, it's just hard to quantify. If there's one race that it's really difficult to predict, I would say Talladega. And now in the round of eight, it's even going to be more nuts. So,
I thought it was funny when you went to break and you said, is it impossible to predict? No way. I think it kind of is impossible to predict. I'll say that just because, you know, so many different things can happen. But that almost feels like any race these days, to be honest with you, when you look at what happened this past weekend at Las Vegas. I will say that I'm kind of hoping for a caution that will get us out of that fuel yep. strategy type thing at the end, because I would love to be able to see it finish under a, you know, everybody going all out kind of situation. So that's my hope for what happens at Talladega. I know some of the race, part of the race is going to be, that's just the world we live in today, where it is going to be measured by, you know, how many droplets of fuel are in the tank. But I'm hoping that we get into a situation where that kind of goes out the window and we don't have to worry about it too much.
I know I mentioned William Byron winning Daytona, Chase Elliott won one of the Atlanta races, but I'm thinking back to what Talladega and the other Daytona, those are both Team Penske drivers. Austin Cindric, mm-hmm. who could factor in. We know how the rules work. We know teammates need to help sometimes. Austin Cindric is great at this. It doesn't behoove Team Penske to have him win the race, though, right? He can be a really good friend, right, Alexis? So
yes.
What do you make of, look, we know Ryan Blaney can get it done at Talladega. He's done it before, fall. He's done it at Daytona. But he's got, he's got a friend in Austin Cindric, but not such a good friend in Joey Logano, who's
yeah.
also in a desperate situation.
Certainly. I mean, I think you could probably factor in the 21 of Josh Berry,
yeah.
too, being a friendly companion to both the 12 and the 22. I think it's going to go back to that, what we had talked about before, being selfish. I think Austin Cindric and Josh Berry and any other teammate that has a person that's running for the playoffs is going to probably, think organizationally up until about 20 laps to go. And then it's going to be, where can I be to put myself and my team in the best position to win at the end? So we'll just have to kind of see how it unfolds.
Lee, the reality is manufacturers are going to want their drivers helping their drivers, teammates versus helping teammates, all of that stuff. So that was my, when we asked a segment ago, can a non-playoff driver win? That was my only apprehension, is that there's going to be some powers that be saying, no, you do not win. One of the playoff drivers must win, and it must be your friend. What do you make of those, the powers that be? They're going to want one of their own in that victory lane.
But then again, that goes back to race manipulation.
True.
And you know NASCAR is going to be listening to the radio, because there's just been a little hint here and there throughout the course of the season. That being said, Chris Gabehart, I asked him, were you concerned? Were there some difficult talks after Kansas where you guys threw one away? He said, on any given Sunday, I want the four Joe Gibbs Racing cars to finish 1 through 4, the 3 2311 cars being 5 through 7, and then the legacy cars behind that. So, you know, maybe in no specific order, then pulling for his own team, he wants to see, you know, Toyotas be on top. And so not really feeling centric. I mean, yes, he won there in the spring, and I can still see that wreath around his neck walking into the media center. I just don't feel the confidence is there with the two right now. He didn't have confidence coming into the playoffs. There's just, you know, there's just some sort of struggle going on with the two right now. But when you have the level of confidence that Blaney and Logano have, I think that that takes away, you can't go into Talladega scared. And, you know, I think that that benefits drivers who have won at that track in the past.
Lee put it perfectly. I mean, some people hate this type of racing. You can't have that attitude. I think we heard it from Chase Elliott yesterday. You know, post-race, knowing the position he was in, it benefits him if people go in hating on super speedway racing, hating going into Talladega, fearing what could happen. You got to go in there with confidence. You got to learn to love it real quick.
But I think when you look at this, you know, playoff field, potentially maybe Briscoe, you could kind of put an asterisk next to when you talk about like experience in a playoff setting going into this type of race. But even still, I think everybody that we're going to see in the playoffs at Talladega has done this before. They know the pressure. They can handle it extremely well. I'm not sure that's going to affect anybody too much.
Well, we know we're all going to win because it's the Talladega, it's Super Speedway. It's the fall. It's the playoffs. It's a round of eight. It's going to be a fun time. For Lee Spencer out in Las Vegas, have a safe trip home. For Alexis Erickson, thank you for being on here. For Doug Rice, safe travels to you. Thank you for letting me be on here. Shout out to Mark Garrow, wonderful career. Holly Kane being the best Grand Marshal we could ever think of. And I hope you have an awesome week. This has been Fast Talk. We'll see you next week.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.